and get in your jammies at 10 p.m. Oh, this is WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Time of Useful Consciousness airs every Thursday at 5 on WFT Community Radio, followed by See You at the Show coming up next. Stay with us after that for Surfability Freakout at 6 p.m., Freeform Music at 7 p.m., Roots Rock and Reggae at 8 p.m., and Get in Your Jammies at 10 p.m.
See You at the Show recognizes and acknowledges that we gather today on Indigenous land, the traditional homeland of many Native peoples, which was taken through deception, coercion, violence, and genocide. We acknowledge the continued displacement and oppression of Native people and honor their commitment to survival, identity, and the protection of our world. We acknowledge that the United States was built at the often fatal expense of forcefully enslaved Black people. We acknowledge those who still cannot walk safely down the street or fully enjoy fundamental civil rights and freedoms. We acknowledge that our Twin Cities and county remain segregated and inequitable. We aim to create and cultivate space for Black stories to be uplifted and for Black lives to be celebrated. We pledge to infuse our work with true values of anti-racism.
Are we experiencing technical difficulties?
Yeah, we are. Okay. Sad.
All right.
But actually, that's kind of critical because we have important things that need to play.
Right.
And I'm not hearing them.
Should I fill the air while you figure this out?
I'll
fill the air while you figure this out. Hi, you are listening to See You at the Show. I'm Linda Evans, and that's Eric Schacht. Getting our theme music. Do you want to do it now?
I don't think it's going to work.
Is the moment over?
It's the auxiliary. So why would the auxiliary not be playing?
Do you think Gina's still here?
Yeah, maybe. We could whisper about it. Right. We could also just say,
so maybe you could get some technical help. I'm absolutely no help over here. I'm just keeping the show moving.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a great show in store for you today. We saw a show in Danville last night that we can't wait to talk about. And we also did a pre-recorded interview with BJ from Parkland to talk about 10 out of 12. And it sounds like we're still going to be...
You're not going to get your theme music, but we are going to pull this off.
Yay.
It is going to happen.
Okay. Ooh, man.
I think.
Yeah. You never know what's going to happen in live radio.
Right.
Are we kind of missing COVID times when we would do all this stuff for throughout the week, have Parker mix it all together, make it sound good, and upload it, and we didn't even come into the station?
Yeah, and this is an important week to have our act together, which is, kind of unfortunate because there's so much theater going on.
So much. Yeah, we don't really have time to waste.
So I think what we have so opening next week, you're pointing at me, so you can just go.
No,
just
go
talk
ahead.
Talk over me.
Go,
because I'm introing the clip.
Do it. Say.
All right. So there's lots of theater happening now. Stay tuned for that. But next week at Parkland,
in the smaller theater.
In the Black Box Theater.
Right.
The second show that has been there this year. Still nothing in the big theater, but we got something coming,
right.
A musical coming in April.
Are you actually rehearsing
SpongeBob
in the big theater?
Which is one of the cool things. You can actually have two, because Parkland now has two theater spaces,
right.
You can have two shows basically prepping at the same time.
Right.
Rehearsal space.
Pretty
cool. Just amazing to have and to actually be able to do rehearsals 2 months out on the stage that we're going to be performing on.
Right. But 10 out of 12 is coming up.
10 out of 12. And we had the opportunity earlier today.
It was such a joy to talk to BJ.
BJ Gailey.
Yes.
He has been directing shows around here for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And this was the first time we've ever had him on See You at the Show.
But he has a youngin', so it's been a while since he directed. So kids will do that to you, right?
Yes.
Slow the theater down. But so glad to see him directing again. And are we going to listen to that now?
We're going to play BJ, our interview with BJ Gailey.
Hopefully
Parkland
it'll work.
Theater Productions,
cross
10
your
out
fingers.
Of 12. Knock and knock. Here we go.
No.
That's literally impossible.
Oh my gosh.
Theater Productions, BJ Gailey. Hi, BJ. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you on the show. So how are things going with the production so far?
Oh, they're going really, really well. We have costume parade tonight. And then, of course, our own 10 out of 12, our tech rehearsal this Saturday for the show. But it's really, we're in a very good place right now. Like, it feels almost luxurious that we've been able to do so many full runs of the show already and still have a week before we open. You know, yeah. You're not always in that position. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're almost never in that position. Yeah.
Right.
I'm assuming most of the people who listen to the show probably know what 10 out of 12 means, but can you explain that for people?
Absolutely. The rehearsal that the play is named after, the 10 out of 12, is otherwise called the tech rehearsal, right? And it's oftentimes the Saturday before you open. And it's that rehearsal where you add in almost all the technical elements that have been missing for the entire rehearsal process: sound, lights, full costumes if you have them. Like you go from rehearsal props to show props if you have all of them. So it's basically just like pouring a big pile of new stuff on your actors. And it's very stressful because of that, because nothing ever goes quite right at one of these. And they can go very, very wrong sometimes, which is pretty much what happens in the play.
Right.
What does the name itself mean?
That means 10 out of 12 means that you're going to be there 10 hours out of 12.
Oh,
so you have 2 1-hour breaks, essentially. I was talking to Yenvi the other night, and Yenvi was like, I don't think I've ever been to one that lasted the whole 10. And I was like, I think I was at one that went 18 once.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that was awful. That was terrible. But right.
Union actors.
Right? That's the yeah. thing. That's why this rehearsal is kind of like being discussed right now, you know, right. On Twitter and in the industry.
More technical difficulties. Bear with us. It was chugging along. I don't know what happened. What is going on? The radio gods are not with us today.
I don't know. This is like a Zoom recording situation. I know where I'm at in the recording. And shouldn't happen.
This shouldn't happen. But you know what? Just like live theater, live radio is full of surprises, and you never know what's going to happen. That's one of the fun things about it, one of the very trying things about it. And are we going to get it back, or should I keep talking?
Just keep cover for me.
I'm covering, okay. Yay, I could just talk about anything.
I'm never bringing new laptop ever again.
One of the things that's on my mind about community radio today, I wasn't going to talk about it, but since I have some space to fill, you know, community is tough, right? We've all been through a lot. We've had the pandemic. Theater's kind of been on hold for a little while in some ways. I mean, obviously, we've still been here, so there have been shows going on. People who believe and feel strongly about theater, we're very intense people, right? We're fun, intense people. And one of the things that Eric and I individually and together and as you at the show, we like to build bridges. That's what we're here for. We're here to build bridges and help people. And sometimes it can get us down or get me down when people are not building bridges, when people let their egos get in the way and it's about them. And I get it. We all do it. Especially, you know, actors and theater people, we all have egos.
Okay, now.
But let's just all play nicely and go for the better good and trust that we're all in this together. Life is too short to have, you know, vendettas and meanness. I'm kind of done with the meanness. There should be no extra drama or meanness in theater. And that's kind of where I want to go from this.
Wow, we're getting like life coaching at the same time.
I guess so. It sounds like we are back with BJ, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're back with BJ Gailey, continuing our interview with the director of Parkland College's 10 out of 12.
is this kind of an archaic practice? Do we have to do this to ourselves? You know, have this rehearsal where everything gets added all at once and everyone is miserable.
Right. So it's very timely. I'm assuming this is kind of a comedy.
Yes, it's definitely funny. It's definitely funny, but it is one of those where it's kind of funny because you're just groaning. You're like, oh no, that's going bad.
So. I walked out of Parkland a couple of nights ago with Renee Wilson, who is in the play, and she was talking to me about how theater people in particular are going to love this show, but I don't think you need to have that sort of knowledge going in.
No, I hope not. I certainly think it's accessible, and it's going to be different, obviously, because, you know, there may be some chatter among characters calling light cues, and you don't know exactly what that means, but you'll see the light cues changing on stage, so you'll be able to connect the dots, I think. But theater people will definitely find a lot that is familiar, and people who aren't in theater, I think, we'll be able to sympathize with these people on stage because we've all been in a work situation that just did not go the way we wanted it to go.
Right, right. When I first saw that Parkland was doing this and we saw Noises Off. Yeah. And so I was like, ooh, this kind of sounds like, you know, a little bit Noises Off like.
It is a bit.
How would you distinguish it?
Well, I think Noises Off is very much a play. You know, it's a play about a play, but because it is a play, like, it does everything in a very theatrical way. You know, you watch the play and you laugh at the things that happen, and then you see backstage in the next act and see all the things that have gone wrong. And in this play, it's almost more of a documentary. The author spent a lot of time observing technical rehearsals and just sort of writing down at times verbatim what she saw. And so it is so true to life and so accurate. And we've staged it in a way that I think the audience is going to feel like they're right in the middle of the rehearsal. So things happening all around them, lots of directional sound. So it is sort of different, a different feeling and a different approach, but trying to get at the same thing, right? Which is like, look at all this stuff that we put ourselves through to do theater, right?
Right.
So this is in the Parkland, the Black Box Theater, the small theater. How many sides are you using for the audience?
We're staging it proscenium. The audience is going to be essentially on one side and most of the action will be on the other. But we are utilizing the upper levels where the lights are for a couple of things. We're using a number of our characters are mic'd, and that sound is going to come from various locations throughout the space to sound as if you're like right in the middle of the conversations. So,
well, you mentioned Yen V, she's your stage manager. What are the other who are the other people involved in your production team?
Melissa is my AD, my assistant director, and she's fantastic. She's a former student of mine, so we work very well together. The cast has a fantastic mix of students, people who are sort of younger in their careers, and more experienced people from around town. Like that's the best part of doing community theater, right? Is having that mix of people. And I got extremely lucky in casting to have really just, I felt very spoiled in the casting room. You don't always feel that way, but like a number of these people in this cast could have played three different characters, and I could have rearranged this cast a number of ways and it would have been different, but still very good.
Did it almost break down evenly between community members and students?
It's very close. I was really happy to be able to cast so many students because that's not always the case, right, in the community theater production, especially over at Parkland. But really, I had a lot of students come out and a lot of students who read very well and have continued to really do good work and be very dedicated to the process, which is fantastic.
I was in a rehearsal with Spencer the other day for SpongeBob. And he left to go to 10 out of 12. And I said, well, what character are you? And he said, well, funny story is that I was going to be the assistant director for the show. And now I'm the assistant director in the show.
That's exactly
right. I mean, how meta can that be?
Right. Well, that was when I originally pitched this to Brian. I was like, everyone who's in the show is going to do that role outside of the show. And he's like, what about the director? And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I can't do that then. Never mind. And the play's so complicated, of course, like, you know, Yen V is going to be calling hundreds and hundreds of cues. So there's no way she could also be doing lines at the same time. But it is, in Spencer's case, it is very meta.
Wow, we should call like a documentary team in to do a documentary of 10 out of 12. And then this would be like, remember when I was a kid, right, once I was watching Mr. Rogers and he had a little TV next to him, which had a TV next to him, like with him on it, which had another TV, it just got smaller. So it feels this is kind of just going down that rabbit hole of
theater. It feels that way sometimes. Brian came to a rehearsal, Brian Morgan is the artistic director over there. And, he came to a rehearsal and afterwards he told me, he was like, that honestly stressed me out a little. He's like, I kind of felt like I was at that rehearsal. Yeah,
I'm like, I don't know. Like, this might be stressful. Because
Well, Linda, you stress out about going to regular rehearsals. What are you going to be like in tech? Right.
I'm just always worried about the stage manager and other people. Mm-hmm.
So when does the show go up? When can we see it?
The show starts February 17th and runs through the 27th, so two weekends. We've got two matinees on the 20th and the 27th. Those are at 3 p.m. and the other performances are at 7:30 p.m.
How are you navigating the COVID issues and with vaccinations and masking and all that with your cast?
Well, we've been masked up the entire time, trying to social distance as much as we can, although obviously staging makes that difficult. We actually had early on in the process, one of our cast members get COVID and they had to take a number of days off rehearsal. People who had been around him obviously had to wait until they got a negative result. So we lost some time as a result of it, but thankfully everybody came back and was so focused and ready to work, and they had spent the time off working on their lines. And so we really didn't feel like a loss, but we are having a reduced audience capacity for this show. And that's one of the ways that we're handling it.
So people need to get their tickets earlier than later.
I would recommend that. I mean, we're 40 seats down from what we normally would have every night.
Wow.
So yeah, definitely get tickets if you're interested.
Right. And audience members need to stay masked for the whole production.
Yes.
Okay. Will the cast be unmasked during the actual show?
As far as I know, that is the plan, until I am told otherwise. If we have a spike locally, obviously that will change. But yes, for right now, we're planning actually on taking off masks for the very first time on Monday.
And this is your first time directing since COVID started?
Yes. Right? Yeah. Yes, it is.
So that's just another layer on you as a director. Yeah.
Well, it's very interesting because this was in discussion pre-COVID, and it was, I think, going to be a very different production back then. But when you have to take, when you're essentially forced to take a couple of years off doing the thing you really enjoy or going to see the thing you really enjoy, it does sort of change your outlook when you get back into the room and you're like, okay, so in a way, I think this is more of a comedy and it's a little more positive than it might have been pre-COVID. Pre-COVID, it might have been a bit more of a dramedy, but we're all just so happy to be there. It can't help but be like joyful at times.
Well, I'm sure that was one of the factors in you getting such an all-star cast too, is people are hungry to act again. And so
absolutely,
you've been able to put together a pool of talent that's going to be really exciting for people to come see.
Is there anyone new that you that we may not have seen before that's in the cast that we should take a look at or
keep an eye out for? Oh boy. Let me see.
We know Matthew Green and we know Renee and a lot of the usual suspects, but is there anyone like new as far as maybe a student?
I mean, all the students are really doing great work. Mia Bell's fantastic. She plays our costumer. And, it's one of those where she came in and at the audition, I was like, oh, that's that character. That's fantastic. Nice. Already had it. And it was great because then she went on to read equally well for a number of other roles. So I was like, oh, fantastic. This person's really good. Mariah, who was last in She Kills Monsters, is in my cast. So she will be familiar to people who saw that. I didn't get to see She Kills Monsters. Abby got to see that one. We have to alternate, who gets to see shows.
Right. Yeah, Spencer was in that too. He was fantastic.
Oh, well, that's the reason I was so comfortable like asking him to join the cast, because I had never seen him. I didn't know him. And everyone was like, oh no, he's really good. You need to have him in here. So
he's just got such like an easy way about him. And it's like, it's confidence, but it just comes so naturally to him.
Yeah. He's hilarious because every night at rehearsal, he's got an idea for his character. It's like, is it okay if I try this? And I'm like, yes, absolutely. That's a fantastic idea.
We've been talking a lot about that. So as a director, that's something you really welcome. Is it you know, or is that your style generally?
No, that is very much my style. And sometimes, you know, it works out great. Sometimes it doesn't. There were a couple scenes that we were blocking and, you know, my approach was like, okay, I've given this a rough block, but, you know, let's see what happens while we're playing it, going through it. And then we sort of went through the scene and I was like, oh no, no, none of that worked. I need to, okay, I will now reblock this scene and then we will hit it next rehearsal and then it worked fine. But in terms of like approach to character, you know, I had an artistic director I worked with long ago who told me once, you can either sort of like take an actor and take what they're giving you and then keep saying, no, try it this way, no, try it this way, no, try it this way, and keep sort of forcing them into this conception you have for the character. Or you can take what they're giving you and say, okay, well, let's see what happens. You know, let's try that. There's no harm in trying it, right? And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. We try something different. But I hope what that means is that the actors feel empowered to take risks, you know, in the room. So.
Right. That's great. I love that. The last production I saw that you directed was Much Ado About Nothing at Parkland. And my son Parker was lucky enough to be involved in that. And I just love what you, I mean, it's Shakespeare and I'd seen it before, but I just love what you did with that. And I could just tell just from that show that I really liked your directing style. So
well, thank you. That show has a big place in my heart. And you know, Parker was great to work with, and he's one of those, you know, even though he was a young kid then, it feels like, you know, he had so much ability when it came to Shakespeare and the text, you know, like he was just so comfortable in it that I loved listening to him. And I got to have him in an acting class, I believe, as well. It was great to see him because he just, you know, he just seemed at home in the text, which is really a challenge.
So. Yeah.
Do you have a next project lined up already? Do you know what you're going to be doing next in theater?
Oh, I mean, there are certainly things that I'm interested to do eventually, but you know, I'm just so happy I got to do this after, you know, a 2-year pause. Abby and I, my wife, we try and sort of trade off. And so that's for who gets to see a show, but also who's doing a show next.
Right.
So she's going to be the next to direct. And then after that, we'll see.
Does she have something that she's currently?
She does. I do not know if it's been formally announced yet.
Okay.
So I won't say it. But
well, if,
but
if she wants, if she wants to break the news on See You at the Show, we're always we love a scoop. We've sometimes gotten in trouble for our scoops. So it's probably good you played it safe because we're not editing this baby. All right. Well, BJ, thanks for coming on See You at the Show. We love talking to you. We can't wait till next week to come see 10 out of 12 at Parkland Theater.
Fantastic. So all thanks so much for having me.
Have a great run.
That was just a wonderful interview. Like we got to have a whole show with BJ next time where we line him up.
Yeah.
And so we're excited about that next week, but there's stuff you got to do this week in theater. And let's use our remaining time talking about that. We went on the road last night. We went to Danville. We went to DLO's production of Bridges of Madison County. And
we were blown away. It was so wonderful. If you don't follow us on Facebook, at least just go check out what we had to say because we don't have enough time to really get into it enough here. But we did a quick take, and it was late when we got home and everything, but we were still like glowing from the show. It was so much fun.
This is the Fisher Theater. If you haven't been there, it's like Virginia Theater, but then even like. Up, like even more renovated, even like a really spectacular theater. It seats like
eight or nine hundred.
Yeah, great thing to do this weekend is go to this romantic musical. I mean, it's just a great story. This could be the Bridges of Madison County could be a play, and these actors could pull it off too because there's chemistry, there's great acting,
and there wasn't just chemistry between Tanya and Jacob. Ooh, we talked to Jacob last week on the show, who are the main characters of falling in love. But there's great chemistry between the neighbor couple who've, you know, been married for a while. I mean, like, just everybody on stage was very, they looked very natural and comfortable, and it was so much fun to see.
Yeah, let's just, you can hear some chemistry in this. This is a beautiful song, just a little clip from Bridges of Madison County. This is Tanya and Jacob singing.
If we can get it to work.
This will not be reversed or allowed, whatever fate the stars are weaving. We're not breaking, I'm not leaving, and you and I are just once my mind, speeding by.
Goosebumps. Wow.
Tanya gives me chills. Yeah.
Wow. Oh,
yeah. Got tears to your eyes.
Jeez, so my God. Yeah. I mean, it is so good. I mean, the talent that they put together for this show from top to bottom of the cast, it's really, the story moves well. The David Zitch is the music. He's the conductor and the music director. And we didn't even hear the full
orchestra,
I guess, because there was a percussion piece missing. But the amount of sound that came out of the seven, the way that they were positioned in front was just perfect. And so we had the mix of the beautiful sound system they have, and the orchestral music was unbelievable.
And there's only three shows. You only get three chances to see it. When can they see it?
All right. So tomorrow night, 7:30 at the Fisher Theater in Danville.
Right.
Saturday night, 7:30.
And Sunday 2:30. Right.
Yeah. So there's not going to be a run on tickets. You'll be able to get in. It seats 850 people.
Right.
And you can distance.
And they have a mask requirement.
There's a mask requirement. And it
the
is.
The actors are not masked.
Yeah. But there's you're offset. The orchestra, I noticed, was masked, which is really cool. So you're well buffered from the singers, if that's a concern. Don't let COVID keep you away. You can be masked. You can isolate within the theater. And you can just take in an amazing performance. It really is. It's we rave a lot about theater because we love theater. Right. We're enthusiastic people. But you don't miss this. It's a story you probably know if you read the book. It's pretty true to that story. But the performance and the music is.
And even if you haven't read the book or know nothing about the story, you'll still get something out of it. And it's not just a love story between. Two adults, but it's also a love story of a mother and her children, and and the neighbors, the neighbor and Tanya. I mean, like there's so much love in it, like all these different love stories. I mean, you've got the main one, but then it's about caring about your kids and
and appreciate every second that you have
being true to yourself. I mean, because her husband is not. Like a horrible person in this, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a good person, but you also have to be true to yourself in life.
You do.
And find love where you can and be nice people.
Yes. Go to see all the opportunities of other things going on, because Heartland Theater still has Life Sucks and their middle weekend of three, SpongeBob, Peoria, musical. The final weekend is this weekend. We just talked to you about Bridges. There's Love Fest at the stations. Go and support Uniting Pride and the Station Theater. See you at theshow.com has all of the details on audition opportunities and now playing. And go to our Facebook page to see our 15-minute long, not so quick take rave about the amazing Bridges of Madison County at DLO.
If you've seen something, want us to know, or if we've missed something, let us know. We always want to hear feedback. We want to hear from you.
Surfability freak out.